Hey, it's Garen here. Inflation keeps rising. There won't be a better time than right now to replace the roof following the storm damage. Let the Shamrock team treat you to a free inspection and we'll replace the damage with the best roof at the best price. One call does it all at shamrockroofer.com.
The familiar chortle of one Danny Klinkscale. As you heard, he's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Great time to call Easton Roofing right now. We're just getting, this is happening in a lot of different places. I heard just today about another industry where, yeah, it seems like everything's been great, but now you find out that really we have supplies of everything for like a year in manufacturing. And then after about a year, that's when you get hit for when everything was shut down back at the beginning of the pandemic. And that's what's happening in construction and in roofing. Easton Roofing bought in bulk and bought early. So right now, those prices that are going up around the industry have not gone up yet at Easton Roofing, but unfortunately they will. 30, maybe as much as 40%, experts are saying, is going to be the increase in roofing costs. Right now is the best time to call Easton Roofing. If you know that roof is getting older, get a free inspection, a free estimate if necessary, whether it's a repair or if you do need a whole re-roof, gutters, attic insulation. It's going to be cheaper now than it is here in a couple of months. So call 913-257-5426. Find them online at eastonroofing.com. Commercial and residential. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied. That is Easton Roofing, getting you back to life faster. Danny, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm good, Seren. Gazing at a literally brand new laptop that's just hours into operation.
Really?
Yes.
Strong.
Is it, what'd you get, about a 65-inch, 70-inch screen?
Fairly small. Looks like about maybe just barely bigger than Curtis's.
So probably okay. 13, 14.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Looks good.
What, did you go Apple or did you go PC?
No, I'm PC. I've never had an Apple, so that would, there's enough adjustments when you move to another computer, especially with all the things I do with a website and such, that I don't need that kind of adjustment, so
yeah,
just stuck with the PC.
All right, there you go. He's a man living dangerously. Danny Klinkscale from DannyKlinkscale.com. We're going to talk golf a little bit later on. We'll check in with Todd Lebo again. So we'll get to the Masters in a little bit. Boy, Rory sucks, huh? Plus six. Wow. Didn't realize how bad it was for Rory McIlroy. Remember when he was good and was supposed to be the thing? I do. We'll get to golf in a minute, though, as I said. I want to get your thoughts on the athletic director hired by Kansas. Are you a fan?
I am a fan. I do find the whole area of, I think I heard you talking about this a little bit, of college athletics interesting when technically Goff is Bill Self's boss. He's making 1/7 the amount of money that he is. But I think that he's done everything so far. He looks impressive. He somewhat sounds impressive. I don't want to get into this. Curtis and I had a long discussion about voices of younger people the other day. But anyway, yeah, I think it was a good hire. He's somebody I think who might want to be there for the long haul. Comes from, you know, he had a couple of, he had a difficult scenario to play through as a person at Tulane University, and then an upper-level person at Northwestern, very respected university. So I think he checks a lot of boxes. He comes in. He doesn't really have to deal with the Bill Self situation or the Kansas basketball situation in any way. Sounded slightly relieved at that. Not saying he couldn't have done it, but, you know, the fact that it was done was fine by him. And anyway, they have so many challenges as far as football is concerned and some other things that have gone on in the athletic department. He's got plenty on his plate. So, yeah, I think it was fine, and I think having somebody, you know, they've had a couple, you know, the last person, they went out of the family, per se, and it just went completely sideways, and to have somebody who went to your university on a short-term basis, was there as at the start of his career, interning, I can't see anything really why anybody would be saying no, and unless you got, you know, the athletic director at Stanford to come and be your athletic director or something like that. I think it's good.
Usually the athletic director at Stanford ends up being the Big 12 commissioner,
right?
Doesn't he?
But I mean, if a university that like has the most sports programs in the country and things like that, I mean, unless you could have got a sitting athletic director at a really high level operating beautifully university, and that person, why would they leave? But maybe they were looking for greener pastures. That's about the only scenario I could think that would be better than getting a person from the family who's on the rise as an athletic director, will be hungry, but seems like somebody who isn't just looking to stay 3-4 years and then move on. So, yeah, I think it's good.
Let's hear a little bit. Let's let you react to some of the comments of Goff. I did think, you know, I like to use this term. It doesn't mean that he's definitely going to have success, but I did think he won the press conference. And I mean won the press conference beyond its you know, fans. It's pretty hard to lose the press conference with fans, although who the Baylor athletic director, who used to be at Missouri, I don't even remember his name now.
Mac Rhodes.
He definitely did not win the press conference. I remember that being like, oh my God, this is not working. Like, you don't get it. He went for humor, got crickets twice, and went for a third. Like, do you remember that day?
I do. I was at an NCAA tournament site, I think, or maybe I was at the Big 12 media days. Can't remember what, but I was reporting from somewhere else, and I remember, no, that wasn't it. I was at Mac Rhodes' press conference when he moved to Baylor. That's what it was. That's where it was. That was my memory.
You were down at Waco?
No, I think he had a press conference at the Big 12 media days. I believe it coincided with that.
Okay.
I think so.
I will tell. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that makes sense. I mean, you were out and about, but you remember us playing it. I remember being like, oh, okay. All right. I'm going to give you Rudy. Are you ready with number two? All right. This is Goff saying he's not ready to set a timeline for hiring a new head football coach this morning on the Border Patrol.
I don't show up in Lawrence pretending to know exactly what Kansas football needs, right? And it would be I don't know what the right word is, but irresponsible, quite frankly, to show up and pretend to understand all those dynamics. So it really has been about these first few days. You know, it's only, I think, day three or four, coming in, listening, learning, talking to people on the staff, talking to people in football, right? Talking directly to Coach Jones, talking to his staff. I've been at practice twice, you know, so I've really prioritized that in a bit of a manic schedule in a manic few days, and just being around the guys, watching the energy, watching the buy-in, watching the way in which they're working this spring, I think has been wonderful to see. And then, again, the discussions and things I'm able to absorb. No real clear timeline. I wasn't going to allow myself, really in week one at least, to establish or commit to a timeline that, frankly, may not have had all the pieces of information it needed to then go down a particular path and execute this thing for the long haul for Kansas football.
You good with that answer?
Yes. I think that somebody who comes to a press conference and doesn't pretend to have all, or comes to an interview and doesn't pretend to have every answer and wants to glean more information, I think that is a positive thing. I think he seems like he is in a position where he isn't necessarily married to the idea that he wouldn't go with an interim coach for a year while he gets it right. I'm probably in favor of if you could get somebody who you think is the right coach to get it up and running, even if he can't get the proper staff in place that first year. But that's just a lean for me.
Yeah, I would like to find the guy and get it going. But if I can't find the guy, then I see no reason to make a bad hire and put myself, you know, in the crosshairs a year or two early. Like, well, let's take our time. Let's get this hire right. I think it's the most important thing you can do. Like, if I told you right now, you can have a guy who's going to win between 5 and 7 games for 7 years if you hire him right now. Or if you wait a year, or let's wait 2 years, and you go 2 years with an interim coach, but then you're going to hire a guy that's going to win between 8 and 10 games for 4 years. Which one would you take?
Second, the latter.
Yeah, exactly. So that speaks to the importance. Have some patience. And get it right. Like, I think that's a big part of it. And I'm with you. And I think one of the things to keep in mind is, like, is he going to be a good athletic director? I don't know. I think he's going to be a pretty good fundraiser. By all accounts, he knows he can walk the walk and talk the talk of Jayhawk Athletics and Lawrence and their money guys and their people. So I think he'll raise funds. But the one thing about athletic directors, there's nothing to prepare you for coach hiring in the apprenticeship part of the job. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, that we're going to find out, like, can this guy judge coaches? Who knows? Like, to me, You want to know how I think I would be as an athletic director? I would make sure that I had all the money guys in my pocket so I didn't have to figure out who the best prospect was. I would be going and stealing away a guy who's a proven commodity and just paying him more money. I'd have the money guys there ready to pay for it and say, listen, I can go get, you know, I don't know, we're talking football now, so I'm trying to think who's a guy who's proven but not. Yeah, I'd go get the Indiana coach.
Right. That's a good example.
You know, you're not going to get Nick Saban away from Alabama because Alabama will match whatever you'll offer. But, you know, a guy who's winning and like, okay, this guy has the formula, as opposed to, you know, a MAC coach or a I wouldn't rule that out, right? I think everybody thought Matt Campbell was a pretty hot hire coming out of Toledo. I don't know that everybody was confident that Gary Pinkle was going to be the guy when he came out, but he was, and give great credit to Mike Alden for making that hire. But I think it's easier if you're going and getting a proven commodity or some guy who's taking a shot at the NFL and is not ready to come back to college. I'll take that route any day.
Right. There's various ways to go about it, but I think that what you're looking for is a guy who has a handle on what he feels like is the best. You know, that he can, you know, maybe he can see that this is the proper MAC coach. This is Matt Campbell. This isn't somebody else who is not going to work. Now, if you get somebody who has a 15-year record of proven success moving up the ladder, and he is at Indiana, for the example you gave, then you really can't do better than that. And if the guy failed, that's probably not on you, I guess. But he probably wouldn't fail if he, you know, had that kind of track record. Although Kansas is a football program where the challenges are great enough that maybe even a pretty darn good football coach could not get it done.
One more from Travis Goff from the Border Patrol this morning. Interview the guys did again, 810WHB.com, if you want to hear the interview in its entirety. Goff asked when he learned that Bill Self had been given a lifetime contract.
You know, we were, I guess I'd probably be moving into kind of the final stages of the interview process the day in which that was announced. And I think I got a really short heads up on that just before I walked in that afternoon into the final interview. You know, my reaction was fantastic, great decision. No better ambassador. So happy to have him locked in and continue to move that program forward, continue to compete at the highest level. And, you know, from my perspective, I'm glad they did it then because it allows me to come in and just be focused on the many other things that we want to attack and begin to address.
Which is kind of what I said before. It's the right answer, and you've got a lot of challenges. The thing is, however, if he has success with the football coach hire, he can botch every volleyball, rowing, everything else on the whole list probably, except for interpersonal communication, which apparently has been an issue at Kansas, and morale and things like that. Now, if he's just, you know, scorched earth, but he hires a good football coach, then that's not good either.
Real quick, some breaking news. John Rothstein reporting Kansas's Jalen Wilson has declared for the 2021 NBA draft while maintaining his eligibility. So he will test the waters as well.
Why wouldn't you test the waters? I think
Quentin Grimes earlier is going, and he's signing an agent, but that's
right.
Houston. But
yeah,
I mean,
that's a different thing. But if you're just going to, why not?
Yeah.
Why would anybody think that that's not a great idea? In fact, if you have any chance of going to in your mind, going to a combine or whatever and getting a grade, why wouldn't you do it? It doesn't make any sense not to.
I agree. I believe both Abaji and Wilson will be back. Do you?
I do. But, you know, they both seem to be people who have a head on their shoulders. But you never know. Somebody might say, you know, somebody gets a second-round grade, and then they're looking at it and saying, you know, school kind of sucked last year, and we think it's going to be better next year, but maybe it's not. And so I think we've got a landscape right now where I think things are different in a normal non-COVID world. I would be more certain that they both would come back, but probably a little less so just because of the dynamics of what people have to deal with now, and the fact that being in college, you know, the aspect of being in college being fun wasn't there that much last year.
Although every time, like, I see videos from college campuses, they didn't look real different. Maybe the basketball
no, for
and
basketball,
football team.
For, yeah, for basketball players, though, from the description it was generally given was it was, dorm, gym, back to the dorm. Dorm, right. Gym, class, or online class, whatever. Not like a normal student.
No, and I agree. And it wasn't normal, even if, the kids were not very good at the protocols, it still wasn't normal. I get that, and I get it was a tough year for all the kids. I feel really bad for them because you only get to be young once, right? What's the difference between my 49th year on this planet and my 48th? Not much, right? But,
right.
Your freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year of college and even high school are cherished years for most. So, yes, I do feel for our youth in this country and what they've lost here over the last 14, 15 months. I don't think Wilson or Obagi are going to grade into the first round. And you're right. It might be like, hey, second round's good enough or I'm going to go play in Europe. Like, college kind of sucks. I'm not going to just put all my – I got to make this decision here, in however long they've got, weeks or whatever. And when I get to that, like, if it's not like, oh, yeah, we're all clear, nobody needs a mask anymore, then I'm not going to take my chances that it's going to be better. And so I'm going to go play pro ball. I think that mindset could be there. I think more and more kids are willing to take that and say, okay, college thing was fine, but let's go live in Greece. I'm good with that. But I just think from talent-wise, both those guys, if their goal is to – I can't even say if their goal is to make the NBA – If the goal is to play in the NBA, that they're better in college. I can't say that that's better than going and playing in Europe anymore. But, I think traditionally they would be guys that I would expect to come back. But I'll say this. Kansas is out after a lot of guys. They've already signed a lot of guys. And for, the NCAA cloud hanging over them, they've got the 7th-ranked class in the country coming in next year. Now, it's more on depth than their usual, number 8, number 18, and number 41 coming in their recruiting class. They've got a lot of guys coming in, and most of them are top 100. There's, I think, 2 junior college guys, which I have zero hope of them being anything other than practice bodies. When was the last junior college guy who did anything? We've talked about this before. We don't need to do it. Yeah, I know you're on the same page with me, but they are getting top 100 guys still, and Bill Self can coach. And if these end up being, 4-year guys – and he grabs some one-and-dones coming out the other end of the probation, or they file suit and it's held up for 5 or 6 years, and kids are like, well, this isn't coming around, and they grab some one-and-dones. I think this is the foundation for some really good Kansas teams with this recruiting class this year.
Well, maybe a little bit more surprising, and maybe as time goes on, the general feeling among some recruits is, well, nothing's happened yet, so maybe it won't, but they're still in a position where they're not getting the kind of players they got before. But then again, the people they were recruiting against for those players aren't getting them across the board either. So, Baylor won the national title, not Duke.
Right. And 12 of the 16 teams in the Sweet 16 had never won a championship.
Right. It was a completely different year. Now, maybe 5 years down the road, 3 years down the road, it's back to what it was 5-8 years ago, and the Blue Bloods are king. But I think there's maybe less chance of that than a lot of Blue Bloods would hope.
I think Coach K's back because he's got 3 of the top 10 in this class coming in. So I think he'll reload. And he's in the transfer market. Kentucky's already landed good transfers. They've got a good class coming. So I think it will get back to that. Maybe it won't be quite next year. It depends on how good this crop of freshmen is. We obviously didn't have life-altering freshmen this year in college basketball.
No.
There was no Zion. There was no Carmelo. There was no Durant. There was no Beasley. There's no Derrick Rose. And so that's what I think finally caught him. But that, guys from that class will still be there. Although there's a lot of the guys, the freshmen that did go to those schools are now transferring.
Well, there's just a lot of people transferring, period. I mean, it's, Missouri and K-State basically made a trade.
Yeah. But I just feel like
senior for a sophomore.
If you know you're going to get minutes, wouldn't you, stay at the Blue Blood program, but I guess you're worried about being recruited.
Well, the other aspect is what we talked about is COVID-related. If school is online or restricted in other ways, well, then what's the difference from school A to school B if all I'm going to do is go take online classes, practice, and stay in my dorm and play Xbox?
For the record, the draft is the 29th of July. The deadline for players to withdraw from the draft and go back to school is 5 p.m. on the 19th of July.
10 days. All the way up until July. Oh, wow. Yeah. God, that's late, isn't it?
Yep.
Holy cow. That's a long time. So Kansas is going to recruit right now, not knowing about Agbaji and Wilson all the way until July.
Well, they can declare that they are coming back before that final date.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah.
They can. But, I mean, when's the combine, Curtis? Look up when the NBA combine is.
Let me see.
Because that's the information that they want. So it's going to be at least till then.
And if June 21st through the 27th.
Right.
So still pretty late.
So they'll have that information 3 weeks before the deadline. Maybe they go to the combine. They're eaten alive. Whatever.
No, but I get it for them. But that's, I mean, won't everything have kind of settled in by who's going where by then? I mean, it'll be slim pickings to try to replace them if you're holding a spot for them.
Yeah, I think it's the way the dates shake out is another thing that's probably a negative that can be picked at from the standpoint of the fact that, you know, you have a scenario where the school will over-recruit and then just say, well, sorry. We did say that we wanted you, but now we don't, which is never good.
Which then they'll just go, I'm transferring, and they'll go play somewhere else. I mean, it is going to be a wild year, though. I think it's going to be – you're not going to really know who your Jayhawks are until we get deep in the summer because there's a lot of decisions still to come. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Danny Klingskill. He's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Find him online at eastonroofing.com. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied. Easton Roofing, winning every award you can possibly win when it comes to building your roofs, repairing your roofs, gutters, attic insulation. Find him online at eastonroofing.com. You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Curtis Siebold. Rudy Salazar running the operation today in for Jed Marshall. It is Danny Unleashed with Danny Klingskill from DannyKlingskill.com. He's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Easton's been able to keep the cost down. There is a supply shortage, a material shortage going on throughout the construction industry. They bought bulk in advance. They've been able to hold off the higher prices, but they are coming. If you know that roof is going to have to be replaced, we got the big storms coming, hail coming. Call Easton Roofing today, 913-257-5426. Get it done now. It's going to be more expensive even in just a couple of months. 913-257-5426. Find them online at eastonroofing.com. And Danny, we welcome in one Todd Lebo from Nick and Jake's, where folks can come down and get a buck and a half sandwiches, just like they were at the Masters. Right, Todd?
Yes, that's exactly right. The Masters menu is up and running. I already had my pimento cheese sandwich. They've also got some special drinks for this, and they've got some buckets that are on sale as well of beers. So come on down here. And, you know, I know some people haven't been out and about. There's room for you in the bar right now. It's a good crowd, but it's not too cramped and tight if you want to come out somewhere and enjoy this. This is the place to come. We're waiting for someone to get us an on-air Eagle on 13 or 15 because Kevin Timmons is going to start throwing out $10 gift cards for everybody when that happens. So the Masters is going on. Nick and Jake's is always a great, great, great place to watch any sporting event. And they love golf like no other bar in Kansas City loves golf. If you want to come out for the Masters, that's great. If you want to come out here anytime, they've got the golf on for you at Nick and Jake's. We're at 135th and Metcalf, basically, in Overland Park. And they also have a really cool deal going. You know, the Advent Health Championship will be coming to Blue Hills Country Club later this spring. And they're actually building a Nick and Jake's on the golf course, basically.
Oh, wow.
And it's a really cool thing. So you can check that out online at Advent Health championship.com/Nick and Jake's. They've got these special tickets, all the food and drink you can have. I mean, it's a really good deal, and they have a special going on right now. So use the promo code MASTERS at checkout today at adventhealthchampionship.com/Nick and Jake's, because nobody loves golf like Nick and Jake's loves golf. So come on out here and say hello to us and watch some golf.
Except
and Danny, I will say this, I when I was setting up the gear here, someone said, you know, I remember when Danny would come out here and sit here. I said, well, Danny's going to be back in the studio today. He's not going to be out here. So people miss Danny at Nick and Jake's, Danny.
Well, this note, too, I will actually on these airwaves be hosting a Masters postgame show at 5 o'clock on Sunday. So you can get a little golf fix, maybe call in and talk about the results and have a little fun. And I will be here at starting at 5 o'clock on Sunday to talk some golf.
Well, that was an eagle. Does that count, Nick? Is Nick and Jake? Kevin, does that count? Matsuyama just got an eagle on 13. Yeah, it counts.
Well, the dynamic that sometimes happens is that they have all of the different coverages on the different screens.
It was on live. It was on main coverage, but it was a chip-in. So I don't know if people were paying attention. Danny was watching. Danny,
yeah.
Does it count or not?
Danny
wants to know. Danny caught it. It counts. All right, there we go. So we got us an eagle there. Matsuyama with a three on 13. So
that would be
it's on down here at Nick
and
Jake's.
Now that would be an incredible story because you guys have been around. Even the most ordinary Japanese baseball player has a media contingent that reports on him every day.
Oh yeah.
And Matsuyama is a very good player. He's won a few tournaments on the PGA Tour. He would probably win 100 if he stayed back in Japan. And he literally has to deal with the weight of a country every time he plays. There's like 100 media people at a regular tournament. I can't even imagine how many. Now, obviously, it's compromised during COVID times.
Right.
But, you know, we used to see it with the Royals when they'd have a Japanese player. And, you know, a game would go on and a guy, whoever it was, Nori Aoki or whatever, was that his name? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he wouldn't even play.
Yeah, he wouldn't even play, and they'd have to ask a question of the manager, why didn't Aoki play today? Or, you know, because that was his beat. Can you imagine having that beat?
Your beat is one guy.
How boring that would be. Oh, my God.
One guy who plays 120 out of 160 games a year.
Now
you got to file every day.
Now you get to, you know, go in America and stay in nice hotels every day and so on and so forth. But still,
I think I know my nationalities well enough that Siwoo Kim would be Korean, right?
Yes, he is Korean.
Okay,
yes.
He is Korean. So I assume it's a similar deal with him. You know,
I don't think that country is quite as golf crazy as Japan is, which really is.
Really? I thought there was like a huge influx of female Korean golfers.
Right. Female Korean golf is super popular, but male Korean golf is popular enough that the poor guys have to actually do what you used to do back in the 60s and early 70s. These guys, you know, they'll come out and play great on the PGA Tour, age 20, age 21, and then, okay, it's time for 3 years of military service.
Oh, wow.
And they have to go back and do that.
Well, Kim just rolled in a par. On the hole that he, I think it's the same hole that yesterday, he chipped or short, I don't know what it was, but it hit on the green and rolled across and then rolled down the hill and into the pond.
Which is exactly.
And it looked like he had done it again, and it caught just enough of the fringe, and then he put it in for par, which was a pretty long putt for par. He picked the ball up out of the hole and threw it in the pond.
Well, if Jordan Spieth, for instance, were to win this golf tournament, and he's in contention. He's not right. He's right in contention.
Yeah, he's and second. He's tied for second. Five.
He basically had at least four-shot incredible break yesterday. He chipped the ball from the back of the 15th green, and it was for sure going in the water, and it hit the flag stick and went in. So it went in for an eagle. If it misses, he's going to make probably a double bogey, maybe worse.
Wow.
And so that's four shots of a swing. For a great break for Jordan Spieth, who's playing well enough that he really doesn't need one right now.
I, if I'm not mistaken, as it hit the flag and then went down, he went, meant to do it. So it's like official. It was,
of course,
the plan.
To his credit, his body language and reaction did indicate that he knew he was very – he called it the luckiest break he'd ever had in his golf career.
Yeah,
so it was like Tiger in that U.S. Open where he got the one out of the bunker. And it went in, and he just kind of looked at his caddy like, what the? Yeah,
sorry. Oops. Hey, I'm Tiger. Sorry. I do this sometimes. Yeah. You have to just deal with it.
Of course, if you're Tiger, you can also have the dynamic at the Phoenix tournament one year where a 3-ton boulder was considered a loose impediment because about 100 fans moved it.
Moved it for him.
So that he could hit the ball. This ball was right behind a boulder, and like a whole slew of fans came out and moved this gigantic boulder.
Danny, I don't know if you've read the papers, but things aren't going that smooth for Tiger these days. So you got to dig out some lowlights, you know, or favoritism.
What do you mean they're not doing so well? The dude was, you know, apparently nothing happened, at least according to law enforcement. So,
Danny, tell me this.
You're saying he's getting a kiss again, that 80-plus miles an hour, not worrying about the cell phone, not doing a toxicology report, that
not,
maybe he got
not hitting the brake at all?
Mm-hmm.
Ever?
He's definitely lucky to be alive.
That's job one. He's lucky to be alive. And yes. I don't care whether the guy gets some kind of a reckless driving thing or a ticket, but I don't see why if they get the black box information and it says the dude was going 45 miles an hour over the speed limit, you can't charge him with speeding.
Yeah.
Danny, what did you think yesterday of this after the round was over? Abe Anser, someone, I don't know who, goes back and watches this video and says that he grazed 3 grains of sand and assessed him a 2-stroke penalty. And this is not a viewer, because they don't allow viewers to call in anymore.
To narc.
I mean, we go from Tiger having fans move boulders to my poor Abe Anser from Oklahoma moving 2 particles of sand and getting a penalty stroke.
I thought they were supposed to be fixing things like that. Now, I'll say this. I believe it was Victor Hovland. This is a very funny story. 3 weeks ago, something like that happened, and somebody alerted someone who was in an official capacity that Hovland had not replaced the ball where he had he had to move his marker to get it out of the way. And the person who called in to report that he had not moved his marker back properly was his mother.
Oh, my God. That's awful. All right. All right, Todd. Tell everybody again what's going on at Nick and Jake's.
We're at Nick and Jake's, 135th at Metcalf. I'll be here till 6 o'clock. The Masters menu is going right now. So you come on by and you get yourself a nice, cheap, authentic Augusta meal, just $1.50. Get you one of those pimento cheese sandwiches, egg salad for just $1.50 as well. And you can watch the Masters. Someone gets an eagle on 13 or 15 while we're here on television. You're going to win yourself a $10 gift certificate. You can use it at Nick and Jake's. So they love golf, they love sports, and they have very tasty food and drink here at Nick and Jake's. So come by and say hello. We'll be here till 6 o'clock watching the golf, because it's going to go well past 6. And we're excited about it, to be out here at Nick and Jake's for the 17th year on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, thank you, Todd. We appreciate it. We'll check in with Todd a little bit later on. Danny Klinkscale with us. Danny Unleashed from DannyKlinkscale.com. Before we break, Danny, who wins this tournament?
Well, I will go with Justin Thomas. He got off to a slow start yesterday, but he certainly was in great form coming in, and he shot a great round today. And I think that he hits the ball incredibly high. He's a great chipper. So it's, you know, picking a golf tournament at the halfway point is a pretty difficult enterprise, but I can't think of somebody who's in nicer form, who has put himself in position than Justin Thomas. So I'll say Justin
Thomas. Is Siwoo Kim from North or South Korea?
I think he's from South Korea.
Then I'm for Siwoo Kim. Anyone who takes his ball and throws it in the pond, that's my guy.
Yeah. Well, he's won a Players Championship, so he's a good player. He's
capable. I've seen his name before.
He's capable of winning.
I like that he actually saved par, and he's still like, no, this ball dies right here. I've had it. I like that. I like that attitude. I'm for Siwoo Kim. So there you go. We'll take a break. More with Danny Klinkscale. Danny Unleashed, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Find them online at EastonRoofing.com. That's EastonRoofing.com. Or call 913-257-5426. Commercial and residential, Easton Roofing.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. How many NBA franchises have had one player win 3 MVP awards and an NBA Finals for that franchise?
Give it to me again. How many?
3 MVPs and an NBA Finals.
And how many franchises?
How many franchises have a guy that's done that for him?
3.
And a Finals MVP, you mean?
No, just NBA. Win a championship and have 3 MVPs in the regular season.
How many franchises have a guy like that?
Mm-hmm.
3.
Magic, Bird, Russell. Do they have an MVP back then, Russell? Mm-hmm. Jordan.
So there's 4. 3 you've named. There are actually five: the Celtics, the Lakers, the Sixers with Wilt, and the Milwaukee Bucks. People forget Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won three MVPs and a world championship with the Bucks in a four-year span. People, as I heard someone say, people think he went from UCLA right to the Lakers, but he's still the best player or the most decorated player in the history of that franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, that's impressive. Playing for a little bit of Jazz, a great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. That's what we give away right there. Go right now to jazzkitchen.com. You can dine in or carry out. They're happy to serve you either way. Locally owned and operated, the best Cajun food around is at Jazz. And Danny, just one other thing about golf before we turn to the Royals. Siwoo Kim is going to play how many holes now? Is he, what is he at, about 16, 17, 8?
Yeah, four or five. Four holes, maybe.
Four holes, and he's going to be putting with an iron because he broke his putter, slamming it down in disgust.
Yeah, I saw him break his putter. Now, that's relatively common that a guy will damage his putter and have to putt with. And sometimes, remarkably, they putt fairly well with the.
You weren't allowed to back up your putter?
No, no.
Okay.
No,
I'm an novice. I know
that. Well, no, if and this isn't going to happen with a putter. If you damage your club just by playing golf, you are allowed to replace it. But
if you slam it down.
But if
anger.
You do it with an, in anger, you're not allowed to replace
cool.
it. So yeah but that's happened myriad times.
I like him even more. My favorite golfer. He's now my favorite golfer because if I played the game of golf, if I played golf, I would.
Oh, when I was really good.
So many clubs I'd go through.
When I was really good, I had a really bad temper. So the worse I've gotten, the more I'll take things in stride because I had higher expectations back then.
Does every past Masters winner gets to go to that dinner, right?
Yes, they do.
And Curtis Strange is one of those winners, right? Was he the guy who said Tiger can have fried chicken or whatever he wants?
No, that was Fuzzy Zeller.
Fuzzy Zeller.
No, Curtis Strange just won the Open twice, the U.S. Open twice.
Fuzzy Zeller is who I was thinking of.
Right.
I remember Curtis Strange. Now that I think about it, he won them back to back too.
Yes, he did. I was at one of those actually.
I would definitely like to see Kim or Matsuyama win and have a traditional either Korean or Japanese dish. And I've watched Fuzzy
Zeller. I'll tell you, you should look at the...
get the red ass.
You should read up on the menu that Dustin Johnson rolled out there.
I did. I did. It was
like 18 courses of just pure joy. I mean...
Pigs in a blanket was one of them.
Right? But there was meat. There was like lobster. Three different kind of really elaborate desserts. I mean, good gravy.
I like it.
There was that too. There was good gravy as well.
Will the Royals be above 500 again this year?
Yeah, but I think the Royals should feel pretty darn fortunate they're sitting 3-3 right now. I don't think there's a lot of optimism around the team, but they've kind of played crummy ball so far when you look at it in total.
Three runs or less in four of their six games.
Right, they had a couple nice comebacks in those first two games against a very bad baseball team that had its top five relievers unavailable because of injury. So they need to get rolling a little bit. I mean, Brad Keller's been terrible, and I wasn't that concerned after one start, but after two, he's not striking anybody out. He's walking people. Brady Singer looked like a Nuke LaLouche in his last start.
I protected Brad Keller on my fantasy team. I'm quite concerned, Danny.
Did you like that?
I think it looks like crap right now for him.
Yeah, it doesn't look good, and he looks troubled out there. He looks like he's like, why is this happening to me? So I think there's some concerns. Benintendi looks kind of lost at the plate. But it's six games. But those six games haven't, for all the enthusiasm, likely warranted, because those are two fun games to open the season. But now in total, on this off day, to judge the Royals, I would have to give them like a C or C minus.
I do like seeing Danny Duffy and Jacob Junis pitch well. I mean, I think that's encouraging.
It is, but I think Danny Duffy is what he is. You're going to get that occasionally out of Danny Duffy, and then he's going to be Danny Duffy, which is okay.
I agree. There were some loud outs with guys on base that if they fall in, that's a different looking game. But I don't know. I'll take it. 3-3.
Sure.
I've been happy 3-3.
Yes.
6, so I'll take it.
I will too.
Danny. Great stuff as always, buddy. DannyKlinkscale.com, or you can read Danny's great work. We'll do it again next Friday, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, who was the last team in Major League Baseball to play a game without striking out once at the plate? Brought to you by Good Sense.